This new Chicago Bears regime has made it clear that every player on the roster is getting a fresh start. But that also means some of the more established veterans will still have to reprove themselves to this coaching staff and this front office if they want to be a part of this organization for the long term.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today and hopefully every day. On the show today, we touch base on some of the Bears with a lot to prove. And it's not just the names you might think of right away, but a couple of players that, you know, we're pretty confident are pretty good, but still actually have to show it to this regime and aren't getting anything necessarily handed to them right away. We'll look at some of the key players on defense, a couple of names on offense, a guy in line for a potential contract extension with a lot to prove, a guy they could maybe give up on earlier, and we'll see exactly where Justin Fields does and doesn't fit in this prove yourself type of conversation. I think it's important to say on the outset that, like, of course, all of the free agents that the Bears signed this year on like cheaper one-year deals, you know, what we actually call a quote-unquote prove-it deal. Like, of course, they have a lot to prove when you're just coming in here on that short-term contract to show what you can do and potentially earn that longer contract extension. So, like, yes, the Byron Pringles of the world and you know, all the different players the Bears brought in really on both sides of the ball are going to have to show this regime that, like, hey, I deserve to be part of this team beyond just, you know, the one-year deal. So I think, you know, when I look around this roster, like, yes, you know, Justin Jones, the defensive line, and Lucas Patrick both kind of got two-year deals, as did Muhammad Al-Kadin on the defensive line, but Pringle on the one-year deal, the linebacker Nick Morrow, the tight end Ryan Griffith, and a number of these guys, the cornerback Tavon Young, across the board, they obviously have a lot to prove, but that's a little bit more straightforward here. The interesting narrative slash discussion that's come out just this past week from OTAs is actually about Jalen Johnson, the young cornerback now entering his third season in the NFL. You wouldn't think, based on what we've seen from him over the past two seasons as at worst, a solid starter for the Bears in the secondary, that he would have a lot to prove. But you kind of listen to the way that the Bears have talked about him. It hasn't been like revelatory quotes in a way that, like, it's not worth like playing the audio because it's kind of doesn't say that much, and that's the point, right? That they haven't been particularly, you know, generous in praise for Jalen Johnson the way they have been generous in praise toward other players. And I'm always a little bit hesitant here to be reading too much into press conference quotes in the offseason as being some sort of, you know, clear indicator of how the coaching staff or the organization, this new regime, might feel about an individual player. But when you go through and listen, you'll hear, you know, he raves about Kyler Gordon as a rookie and then the playmaking ability. And they've raved about Darnell Mooney as a young player they're really excited about. And when they talk about Jalen Johnson, it's like, yeah, he's a young guy. He's coming along and he's got some places he needs to improve. And, you know, we're hoping for the best from him. And that's distinctly different from, oh man, Darnell Mooney is a really exciting young player that we're really happy to have here and really want to see what he can do and think he can be a big part of our offense. They don't really talk about Jalen Johnson in that same way. And so there's this, sort of this feeling that, no, not that he's at risk of being cut or anything like that, but just sort of, I think they're evaluating, saying, okay, as he's getting closer to the end of his rookie contract, it's just entering year three, so they got another year after this, but like as they're getting there, they're just trying to see, okay, is he the guy that they want as the running mate for Kyler Gordon, I guess, in the long term, right? When we think about, like, oh, Kyler Gordon, when he was drafted, it was like, oh, this is going to be the running mate for Jalen Johnson. Well, then maybe let's not hand Jalen Johnson the long-term contract extension just yet. Not that we don't think he can be very good, but I'm just saying, from the way the Bears are handling this, it seems like there's kind of a, let's see how he does first before we, you know, throw all of our praise behind the way they have for other players. So I think there is something for Jalen Johnson to prove to this coaching staff. I just don't have too many concerns that he'll be able to do so. Bigger question, I think, is for Eddie Jackson. Based on how the last couple of seasons have gone, you know, there was the thought that Sean Desai's defense would get him back more into the Vic Fangio mode that he had so much success with in 2018 compared to what they did with Chuck Pagano in 2019 and 2020. We thought maybe with the brand new regime in there that maybe Eddie Jackson could be a trade candidate this offseason. His contract, though, was particularly difficult to move to where the Bears would have to pay him more money to move on from him than they would to keep him. And so it's maybe not too surprising in that regard that they did ultimately end up keeping him. But after this season, his contract is fairly, is easier to get out of. I wouldn't say it's like super easy, but you would save about $8-ish million next year if you cut him, as opposed to the 17 that they do owe him. So this in some ways is sort of a prove-it year to Eddie Jackson. Not to prove, hey, are you a good safety in the NFL? I think we know there's a certain floor that Eddie Jackson has already proven. It's just, hey, prove that you're worth $17 million next year and $18 million the following season as you turn 30 and get more into this beginning stages of the later stages of your career. This regime doesn't have the connection to Eddie Jackson that the previous regime did, and I don't know that anything beyond this year is locked in for Eddie Jackson just yet. Like Jalen Johnson, I think we know both of those players have shown in the past to be fully capable of belonging here as longer-term pieces in this defense to pair with the two rookies they just drafted at their respective positions. But they do still have to prove it. And their performance on the field this season, I think for both of them, can go a long way towards shaping what their future is going to look like in Chicago or perhaps somewhere else. I think it's definitely not exclusive to the defense. I mean, obviously, this whole offense is sort of a work in progress. We'll go through a couple of players that have been here a little while that still are going to have to prove quite a bit, I think, to this new Bears regime. Next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is powered by Built Bars, the world's best tasting protein bars ever. Not long before I recorded this podcast, I sat down and had a birthday cake flavored Built Puff. And it's a great combination. It's like taking your fingers and dipping it into a jar of cake frosting. It even has little sprinkles in the outer coating that's still soft and easy to chew, of course. But unlike birthday cake actual frosting, this is only 150 calories in the bar, and it's loaded up with 16 grams of protein. It tastes delicious. The Built Puffs, as opposed to the Built Bars, are a little bit more like a marshmallow on the inside compared to more like the chewy candy bar filling that a regular Built Bar has, but they're so good. And this birthday cake flavor in particular has quickly become one of my favorites. You got to try them for yourself. All Built Bars are low sugar, low calories, high fiber, and high protein, and taste delicious. They satisfy my sweet tooth. They help keep me full. Head on over to Built.com, enter in our promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. You wouldn't think after how well David Montgomery has been running for the Bears, I mean, really his whole career, but he's been so consistent really all three seasons, that he would have that much to prove this season. But I do really think there's a decent amount at stake for David Montgomery this year. You know, last year, I think his yards per carry was down a little bit from the previous year. He was injured for a stretch there, and I don't know how fully healthy he was after returning from the injury. He was healthy enough to play, but I wonder if maybe he wasn't running at 100% for the entirety of the season. And so there's something to be proven in that regard, but most importantly here, David Montgomery is this season entering the last year of his rookie contract. And there's plenty of hand-wringing across the NFL and outside of the NFL and the media about paying running backs and what a running back contract should look like. And David Montgomery's getting to that point where it's like, okay, he's about to turn 25 next month, but still a young running back, a productive running back, a pretty good receiver out of the backfield, fairly explosive, great at making guys miss, right? I mean, David Montgomery's some of Bears fans' favorite player. I mean, maybe separate from Justin Fields. But like, there's no one dislikes David Montgomery for the most part in Chicago. And so, like, yeah, there's not, like, you don't have to prove whether or not he's any good. Kind of like Jalen Johnson and Eddie Jackson. It's not a question of, are you any good? It's, what are you worth? How much are you worth to this team relative to some of their other options, right? Last season, we saw Khalil Herbert step in for a couple of games as like an actual sort of starter with Damian Williams in there. But we saw Khalil Herbert look like kind of like a starting caliber NFL running back as a rookie sixth round pick, as an older rookie sixth round pick, having transferred late in his college career. And like, yes, 100 rushes for 400 yards and 2 touchdowns last season on the stat sheet isn't like Khalil Herbert's ready to take over. But in some of those games, he looked fully capable of being potentially a lead back in the NFL. And the Bears, as they build out this running back room, also don't look particularly interested in having that true lead back style of backfield, right? They have Montgomery and Herbert. Then they drafted Treston Ebner in the sixth round out of Baylor, who, by the way, if you haven't listened, we did a podcast with the host of Locked On Baylor, Drake Toll, and he broke down this Baylor offense and Treston Ebner and what his role was in that and how that might all translate to the NFL. So if you want to go know more about the rookie Bears running back, go back and listen to that from last week or 2 weeks ago, I think, if you haven't heard that yet. But they also then signed Darrington Evans from Tennessee, added an undrafted rookie free agent running back, and they added a fullback in free agency as well. So, like, the Bears have put additional players in this backfield this offseason. There doesn't seem to be that desire to have the one lead back and then, you know, special teamers or whatever behind them. So there's a message there that maybe they're not in a position where they're going to want to pay David Montgomery the type of money that running backs will command. You know, a young running back coming off his rookie contract with, you know, if he puts together a fourth straight season this year of, you know, maybe he hasn't been over 1,000 yards every season, but a fourth straight season of looking like a truly quality running back, you know, they're not going to want to pay him whatever that running back contract market might look like, $7, $8, $10, $12 million a year, depending on, you know, what tier he's going to try and view himself in. So there's a double-edged sword there for Montgomery where it's like, okay, if he runs really well and plays really well, does he price himself out of the Bears' range and make it less likely that they stick with him? But if he doesn't run particularly well and doesn't set himself up for a big market, he would then be more affordable to the Bears. But, you know, would they want him back then if he doesn't prove to be, or if this season he doesn't have, you know, the type of success they might be expecting to? So I wouldn't expect some kind of preseason contract extension for Montgomery. I think there really is something there for him to prove this season. It's just a matter of kind of what exactly that looks like and whether it's not, it's him proving it to this regime or it's him proving it to maybe another regime on another team. It might also depend on how well Khalil Herbert plays, what kind of opportunities Khalil Herbert gets. Same with, you know, the rookie running back Treston Ebner or the free agent Darrington Evans, right? If all those guys struggle a little bit and Montgomery feels like kind of your only option, maybe do they feel more pressured to sign Montgomery? No connection to this regime. It was all, he was kind of Nagy's running back and Pace's running back and the guy they really liked. Certainly this new offensive coaching staff, Luke Getsy, has talked about the importance of being able to run the ball consistently and really valuing the running game overall. But there's a difference between valuing the running game and valuing running backs. And that gets lost a lot in this analytics conversation about running backs. You know, when Pro Football Focus and other groups as well say, hey, running backs don't matter very much, they're not saying running the ball doesn't matter very much. They're saying the individual back, the specific players themselves, don't matter as much as they used to. The point being that if you have a really good offensive line and a good scheme around it, that there are a lot of different running backs that you can plug into a backfield and still have enough success in the running game for it to achieve the result that is valuable. Running the ball can be and is valuable, but it's not necessarily worth investing a large contract into one specific running back unless they're a Christian McCaffrey type that can be such an effective weapon in the passing game as well to further justify that value. And I think it speaks volumes that the Bears get a specific pass-catching running back in the draft in Trestan Ebner that maybe they're not seeing as much of that out of David Montgomery as they would like. So there's a lot for him to prove this upcoming season, and I think how the Bears' running game as a whole functions with Montgomery in the game compared to with Montgomery not in the game will go quite a long way towards that. The offensive line is also going to be a factor there. If none of them can run effectively behind the offensive line this season, how well can you evaluate these running backs? And maybe, again, you're more inclined to have Montgomery. But the price, I think, is going to be a particularly big factor there. I don't know that price is always going to be always the consideration in terms of just finding guys that fit your scheme and what exactly you're looking for. But I think there's a couple of other guys on offense that stand out to me as like, yeah, they're not, I don't know how much they're guaranteed beyond even just this upcoming season. And even though they are under contract a little bit longer than that, we'll check in a couple of guys that, you know, have some reason to think they can be fine, but just still have to prove it again. And where Justin Fields fits in this, because he does have things to prove, but I don't know that he has to prove any more to this regime than he would to the previous regime and anybody else in the NFL. We'll check in on some of the other key offensive players next on Locked On Bears. Our partners at BetOnline.net continue to be the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. Even though we're in the middle of football offseason, you can still bet on this upcoming season. Bets on Bears win total, over under 7, I think, is where the line has been sitting. Bears odds to make the playoffs are a little bit of a long shot at this point. Where they'll finish in the NFC North, plus futures for MVP, Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, and then other sports as well. All the latest odds, news, and developments, including basketball playoffs down into the conference finals right now, hockey playoffs into the second round, Major League Baseball scores, props, even you know next season futures for pretty much all the sports. You can get ahead at betonline.net. All of the live betting, playoffs, esports, and more, plus fights, UFC, boxing, soccer, tennis, you name it, they've got it. Head on over to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action you need to know. BetOnline, where the game starts. I think the questions about proving yourself on offense start with Justin Fields. But I don't get the impression that like he needs to prove himself entirely to this regime. Yes, he has a lot to prove in general, but I don't think the Bears are in a position right now where if Justin Fields isn't spectacular this season that they're trading him, they're cutting him, and they're drafting another quarterback right away. You know, I mean, if he just stinks it up all year, do they start to look at other options and maybe bring in competition? I think that's probably a possibility there. But I don't think they're coming in saying, all right, Justin, it's your second year in the NFL. You need to be a fully developed, established quarterback now and need to prove yourself in that way. No, I think he needs to prove that, like, he's getting better and improving and fitting the system and getting along with the coaches and leading, right? I mean, he needs to prove those sort of foundational steps forward, but I don't think he needs to prove like, okay, he's for sure great this season or else he's gone and the organization is moving on. No, I don't think Justin Fields is quite in that same vein compared to like we talked about there with, you know, Jalen Johnson and Eddie Jackson and to a lesser extent, David Montgomery. Or how about Cole Kmet, right? I think he's much more in that prove to us that you're any good or else we might not bring you back next year type of spot. You know, I mean, he still has some of that developmental leash to where I wouldn't imagine he would be a strong candidate to cut before the end of his rookie contract, but they would save almost $2 million if they did. So, I mean, there is some potential financial incentive to do so if he just has another struggling season and they really don't have that connection to him. I would guess maybe he'd be more of a trade candidate. You could try and get some kind of late round pick for him instead of cutting him outright. But I don't think there's anything really guaranteeing Cole Kmet a role beyond this year until he can take a little more of a step forward and prove himself as a little bit more valuable to this new regime and to this Bears offense. I don't think that's a hot take to say that Cole Kmet still has a lot to prove and hasn't been as good, I think, as the organization would want him to be, despite the progress and the steps forward that he did make last season. Let's see more, right? Let's see that next step. Let's see continued sort of growth and development from him. The other one that might be a little bit more of a surprise here that I think still has to show himself to this regime is Cody Whitehair. You know, he's the only other veteran on the offensive line that this regime, you know, wouldn't have the connection to, right? I think Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum have a lot to prove, but like they were rookies last season, kind of like the Justin Fields thing where it's like, no matter how bad either of those two players might be this season, if they struggle, right, they're not going to get cut and move on from that quickly. There's still that leash of development of saying, yeah, we understand that we're not expecting you to be great right away in year two, and that there can be more of a developmental buildup for those two young guys. Cody Whitehair, on the other hand, is the veteran they inherited and was also like financially too difficult to get rid of, and also like is good, right? Let's make that clear as well. This is not a Cody Whitehair has to prove whether or not he's good. It's the Eddie Jackson conversation again. It's, we know you're pretty good, but how good are you? And are you worth the financial investment you're currently owed from the contract signed to you by the last guys? Cody Whitehair this season will make $12.3 million. He is the highest paid offensive player on the Chicago Bears. Next year, his salary cap hit is set to increase to $14.1 million. Again, currently set to be the highest paid player on the Bears offense. And the question is not, is Cody Whitehair a good left guard? I think we've seen over the course of his career up to this point, he's been perhaps their most consistent offensive lineman over the last handful of seasons. He's always kind of been there. They haven't done him too many favors, moving him around between guard and center back and forth and not always letting him settle into one spot. But like we know, Cody Whitehair has been good and a player that we have wanted to be around this roster. The question is, when it's a new regime and he's going to turn 31 next season, is he worth $14 million? Is he $14 million good at the guard position? When we were seeing guys in free agency this year, for example, go at a slightly lesser rate than that, and sometimes a significantly lesser rate than that. Is he that good of a left guard? I think there have been times in his career when he has been, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had another great season and was fully proved to be that valuable and sticks around for the Bears next season and maybe beyond. But you could also see where if he struggles and maybe doesn't, for whatever reason, fit the scheme as well. Although, given his skill set coming out in college and sort of the player we've seen since then, I think he should be a good enough scheme fit here. I mean, everything would suggest that he should play well and can still be a part of this organization, but there's no actual ties to him. And so there is something there to be proven by Cody Whitehair to this new coaching staff just to say, yes, we do want you to be a part of this group long-term. Because like we talked about on yesterday's podcast, the new veteran center, Lucas Patrick, he's kind of the leader now. Cody Whitehair has sort of been the leader the last couple of seasons because he's just been sort of the oldest guy there who's been around the most. But all of a sudden, not that Cody Whitehair now has no leadership in the offensive line room, but he's not the guy, the face as much anymore. That's Lucas Patrick. So there's a little bit less of that value for Cody Whitehair at this point as well. But at the same time, you don't want to cut him next year, for example, and just like create another hole on the offensive line when, you know, you still haven't finished filling the current holes on the offensive line that may linger through the season and still be holes next year on the offensive line. So I would think of the people I've mentioned, Cody Whitehair is one of the safer of the group. I think Jalen Johnson also probably pretty safe. And of course, Justin Fields and all that. But still, this coaching staff is not handing anybody any kind of long-term stability just yet. Everybody's got to show that not only do they fit the scheme and are they good enough, but you know, do they have the type of hustle and mentality and motor and energy and heart and all these intangibles, the sort of identity of a football player that Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles have been pretty adamant about this offseason. I think for pretty much all the guys, there's a pretty good chance that they all prove it and stick around and are part of this Bears organization. But it's just interesting when somewhat established players are all of a sudden a little bit on call or a little bit on, not on edge, but just put out there and said, all right, dude, we know you can be good. Let's do it. Let's see it. I'm excited to see how these players rise to the challenge. You can be sure, however they do, we'll break it all down for you right here on this Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure you hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Bears OTAs are going on right now. We'll provide any and all updates that come out of those practices, any additional free agent signings, which we'll get to this in later in the upcoming weeks here on the podcast, but I think there's going to be another wave of Bears free agent signings coming. Not a big wave, but coming soon, but not right away. We'll get to that in the coming weeks as well. So I hope you'll keep tuning in. Hope you'll keep making Locked On Bears your first listen each and every day. And I hope that as a result, the Locked On Bears podcast makes it that much easier for you to bear down.